Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I guess you're listening to Topsy Part 1 or Part 2, but the you know what really tops it all is Nancy Pelosi. It came out today. Spent 10... How much? Wait a minute. Let me get my facts right. It says she was in an elaborate suite in Hawaii that cost $10,000 a night. That's nothing for a queen when you think about it. She traveled to Hawaii by private plane, spent the holidays in Kona last year in an elaborate suite that cost $10,000 a night. We don't know if it came with health care, but we're looking into it. Speaking not of Nancy Pelosi, but of things in general, you know who Lord Chesterfield was? Well, a cigarette was named for him. I don't think the brand is still around. But Lord Chesterfield was exactly right when it came to his comments on sex. You know what Lord Chesterfield said? The position is ridiculous, the cost abominable, and the relief momentary. Now, the fact of the matter is, not only that, but most of us do it with scant regard for the consequences. But Lord Chesterfield was absolutely right when it came to running around like a lunatic when he said the position is ridiculous, the cost abominable, and the relief momentary. Now, what does that have to do with Obama or Wall Street or the birds falling out of the sky? Absolutely nothing. But speaking of birds, masses of dead birds have been falling out of the sky both in Arkansas and Louisiana. I don't know whether this is a warning from God, but we've been trying to find out where the peripatetic Bill Clinton is. Now, certainly we're not blaming Bill Clinton for this, but he is nowhere to be found, and until we know his whereabouts and whether he's been giving speeches in these states, we cannot rule it out. 1-800-449-8255. Obama's pictured once again on vacation. I think he's back now, slurping an ice cream cone, looking very, very thin. What do you fear about this ice cream eating administration? A man eats junk food, his wife eats junk food, and he gives us lectures on health food. Well, it's called hypocrisy. There's nothing new about that. Here's some news story. Schwarzenegger, the worst governor in American history, is out of office, and in his last days, he pardoned the son of a Democrat whose son murdered somebody. Yeah, look it up. It's on michaelsavage.com. That's right. He pardoned the murderer. Schwarzenegger tweeted to Medvedev of Russia, "Let's go skiing." Yeah, okay, sure, let's go skiing. The son of the late Shah of Iran killed himself in Boston. That's an unusual story. It's never pleasant to report of suicide, but that's an odd one. The son of the late Shah of Iran killed himself in Boston. That just came in on the Savage Nation. Now, here's a story that's a little troubling, and I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom of it, but, you know, it leads to... let us say, conspiracy theories. I mean, even if you're not into conspiracy theories, everyone says I'm not into it, but everyone's into conspiracy theories. Everyone believes in conspiracy. They just say they don't. But if you look down on my website, I talked about it yesterday for a minute, and I have to go back to it. Here it is. Ex-Reagan and Bush aide killed, dumped in a landfill. It's a very disturbing and frightening story for a couple of reasons. He's a prominent retired Army officer. He's a former Vietnam veteran. He was last seen near a building that includes federal offices, and he's found in a dump in a landfill in Delaware. Ex-Reagan Bush aide is what they call him, but there's much more to that story, isn't there? We don't know the man personally, but the story is right out of a mystery novel. He's a retired Army officer, as I say, and his name was John Parsons Wheeler, and the man had deep connections in the defense establishment. On December 28th, Wheeler, age 66, who was a driving force behind the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, and by the way, a former senior Pentagon official, is found dead on New Year's Eve in a landfill a few miles from his Newcastle home? Well, let's look into this for a minute. On December 28th, he was scheduled to take an Amtrak train from his consulting job with a defense contractor, MITRE Corporation, outside Washington to the Wilmington, Delaware stop. 3 days later, his body is found in a dump. Well, what is that all about? I don't know, but if you were writing a mystery novel, how would you put the pieces together in this one? This is no lightweight guy. From 05 to 08, Wheeler was a special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force, and he helped create the Air Force Cyber Command. In addition to helping launch MADD and leading the organization that built the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Wheeler worked for the SEC on investigations of illegal insider trading and for the Pentagon on cutting-edge issues. Let's pause right there. If you were in the FBI and you were assigned the murder, the homicide, which they're calling it now, of Mr. Wheeler, and you learned the facts I have already given you on the Savage Nation, where would you start your investigation? So let's repeat some of them. From 05 to 08, Mr. Wheeler was a special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force, and he helped create the Air Force Cyber Command. Okay? That's number one. He also worked for the SEC on investigations of illegal insider trading. He also worked at the Pentagon on cutting-edge issues. We don't know what they are. This was not a lightweight guy. He was a graduate of Harvard Business School, a graduate of Yale Law School, a graduate of West Point. He created a Vietnam Veterans Job Program for the administration of Reagan and the Earth Conservation Corps for at-risk use for the administration of President George H.W. Bush. So what do you think happened here? He is a tough guy, a Vietnam veteran. The man is a graduate of, as I say, of West Point, served in Vietnam, worked in the Pentagon producing and analyzing nuclear war games, right? What else did he do? And after he leaves the Army, he has all sorts of high consulting positionships. So what actually happened? If you were a mystery writer, how would you write this story? Now, what's interesting to me is that the newspapers are putting out a story that he was at odds with a neighbor. And that, to me, is kind of bad journalism, okay? He and his wife were at odds with a couple that were building a home across from his three-story red brick duplex in a historic part of Newcastle, Delaware. They claimed that the new home was too large for the location, would block his views, and they filed a lawsuit against the neighbor. So what are we supposed to believe? That the neighbor had him whacked over a land dispute? Over rather a zoning dispute? I don't believe that that is the real story here. I think there's something else to this story. I don't think it has anything to do with the neighbors, by the way. If it was me, I'll tell you what. Why don't you be me for a minute? If you were Michael Savage, where would you begin your investigation, having heard what you've already heard on the ex-Pentagon official found in a dumpster? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, I know most of you haven't even read of this story. I don't know why, but it's a big deal. He is an ex-Pentagon official found in a landfill, in other words, a garbage dump, on New Year's Eve. This is not an ordinary murder. This is a homicide, according to the FBI. Now, exactly who could have killed him is certainly not anything we can know, but at this early stage, we, the American people, can speculate. Make believe you're an FBI officer, and you are assigned the case of John Parsons Wheeler. And they're throwing mud in our eye, by the way. The newspaper saying he was involved in a land dispute with a neighbor. Nonsense. In my opinion, I don't think that has anything to do with the slaying. Now, how would I know what it was to do? Well, let's put two and two together, because this just came out. This just came out. And it's very important that we not make the connection, but we note the interest, okay? Where was he last seen before he was found dead on New Year's Eve in a landfill a few miles from his Newcastle, Delaware home? Okay? Well, on December 28th, Wheeler, age 66, was scheduled to take an Amtrak train from his consulting job with a defense contractor, MITRE Corporation, M-I-T-E-R, outside Washington to the Wilmington, Delaware stop. 3 days later, his body is found in a landfill. Okay, we said that. But the police announced that he had been spotted about 3 p.m. This just came out today. About 3 p.m. on December 30th, he was spotted near 10th and Orange Streets in Wilmington, a block that includes the offices of the U.S. Attorney and Justice Department. Now, that's very intriguing. The police statement did not say how he was spotted or if he was traveling with anyone. Police are refusing to comment beyond that. Police have ruled the case a homicide. But let's go back to where he was last seen. 3 p.m., December 30th, he's seen near 10th and Orange Streets in Wilmington, Delaware, a block that includes the offices of the U.S. Attorney and the Justice Department. Now, this is a big guy, upstanding citizen. Obviously, he's connected deeply into the defense establishment and the government. And to me, if let's say he was seen outside the office of the U.S. Attorney and Justice Department, well, the first place you begin the investigation is at the U.S. Attorney's office and the Justice Department, and you inquire if he was a witness in any ongoing investigation. You look at the logbook. You look at the videotape of that building. Did he enter that building? Well, then, if he entered the building, he was in there for a reason. If he was in there for a reason and suddenly there's no evidence that he spoke to anybody, you've got a massive cover-up inside the U.S. Justice, the U.S. Attorney's office and inside the Justice Department, and that's where you begin. Now, whether that will ever lead you to the murderer, I doubt it. But you're certainly going to start turning over rocks that are going to release an awful lot of snakes. That's all I can say. The rest of it is going to be pure and unadulterated speculation, and I don't know that we should even indulge this, but it's intriguing to me for a couple of reasons. When I see a man of this stature, a guy who's a Vietnam veteran, combat veteran, by the way, not a faker like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, combat veteran, West Point graduate, Yale Law School, Harvard Business School. Something's going on here. Something is going on here. And what it is, I don't know. It's a whole story, you know. I've been contracted by St. Martin's to write a couple of thrillers, they call them. I'm actually working on one right now. And what is a thriller? This story has all the elements of one of these thrillers. Unfortunately, it's a real man, and a really fine man, apparently, who was killed in a horrible way and thrown into a garbage dump. Now, those of you who are into, let us say, this side of things, the dark side of things, there are people assassinated in this country every day of the week for various reasons, public and private. Let's not hide ourselves from the truth and the ugly truth of the human being. But when a man is assassinated and thrown into a garbage dump, it's a message. That's number two. In other words, they could have knocked him off and then removed the body and never find the body. They could have killed him and left him in the street. But they didn't. Whoever did this to him knocked him off and threw him into a dumpster so that he'd wind up in a garbage dump. So there was a message being sent to, to some individuals. And God only knows what that message is unless you're in that world. I don't know what it means. But again, let's play detective, and I'm going to open it up at Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Let's start in Virginia Beach. Charles, what's your theory on this murder?
Michael, this guy was up to his neck in the recent virus that was sent to Iran to incapacitate the centrifuges, and they took him out.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying he was involved with the Stuxnet virus?
Hey, he was a cyber guy. He knew it inside and out.
Charles, wait. How do you know that he was involved with the Stuxnet virus?
Look at his background.
Well, can we check this on one of the sites where it will say it says he was involved in cyber warfare. Okay, I acknowledge that. But beyond that, do you have any leads here on whether he was involved in Stuxnet?
I'm definitely speculating on this one, Michael, and can't wait to read your book.
Oh, well, you know, as I say, it's a human being and a pretty good one. He's a real loss to America. The fact of the matter is something's wrong here. And you know, it came right after the signing of the Star Treaty. Charles, you want to go with me on this one?
I'll go with you there.
Okay, let me go backwards. After serving in Vietnam in the military, he worked at the Pentagon producing and analyzing nuclear war games. And according to an author, Wheeler wrote a study that played a role in President Nixon's 1969 decision to renounce biological weapons, right? So he was sort of a, after the war, he became somewhat of a pacifist in a way. That's interesting unto itself.
Well,
but, where does that lead you in your thinking?
Well, I really don't see him as a pacifist. I would say that he didn't like what the Star Treaty was doing, and he could have been somebody to be the fly on the ointment concerning that.
All right. There you go. There you go. Now we're getting warm, in my opinion. Star Treaty is signed. Top Pentagon guy like him is found dead, thrown in a garbage dump.
Russians haven't ratified it yet.
No, but they got everything they want. Now they want more. That's how the Russians work. They have a patsy in the White House and a patsy in the Republican Party, so they got everything they want, so why should they now sign it? Now they ask for more.
Be the first big rock to be turned over on this administration, Michael.
You really think that this administration is going to even investigate this?
Well, I don't know. They need some good Watergate reporters on this one.
Yeah, right. They need real reporters, which unfortunately there are very few left, if any. Most of them are simply, let us say, disseminators of propaganda rather than true reporters. This would take a real 1940s, 1950s era gumshoe reporter who's not going to stop until he gets to the truth. Do you think any of them exist anymore?
Michael, they're too busy trying to investigate a commander of an aircraft carrier.
My God, I didn't even get to that story. The commander of an aircraft carrier who makes a comic video that dares criticize certain sensitive individuals and he's relieved of command in a time of war when there are only 9 aircraft carriers to begin with? What an administration, huh?
Savage.
We are, as the American people are wont to do, discussing a homicide in Delaware of a top consultant to the Pentagon, Vietnam veteran, Harvard business graduate, Yale Law School. All very important to this because this is not an ordinary Joe just whacked by a bum in the street, which would be bad enough. This was an assassination, pure and simple, but what's disturbing at this time is that the FBI is not involved in the investigation other than offering so-called technical assistance. Now, why would the FBI take such a hands-off approach to the assassination of a former special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force? What do you mean only technical assistance? This is an outrage. The FBI certainly has the resources, and Department of Homeland Security is over in the Middle East worrying about their problems, and this is going on in my country? Now, let's look at the man himself, 66-year-old John P. Wheeler of Newcastle. The man was deeply involved in Air Force Cyber Command and the Air Force Cyber Command. And if you look at his bio, and I've just found this through a friend, he was a distinguished individual. He exceptionally meritorious service to the U.S. as special assistant. He won awards. But what does it have to do with you? Listen to this one. Here's a quote now. Grasping the growing vulnerability of our weapon systems to cyber intrusions, Wheeler worked tirelessly to drive the activation of Air Force Cyber Command. His visionary efforts were instrumental in the creation of the Cyber Research Center at the Air Force Institute of Technology. The first two graduates of the United States Air Force Academy to enter the Air Force Institute of Technology Cyber Masters Program, did you hear this one? The stand-up of the Air Force Cyber School, and an increased emphasis on Air Force recruitment efforts for officers and enlisted for cyber careers. That's very interesting. There's more. Very interesting. He helped formulate advice on initiatives such as joint basing, recapitalization, ROVER precision strike data for Army and Marine troops, acquisition, and a myriad of legislative initiatives facing the Air Force. Well, does that give us a hint? I don't know what it means. The man certainly was an important American. This is not the kind of guy who simply gets murdered. This is not the kind of guy you find in a landfill. And for the FBI to say that they're only offering technical services is an insult not only to the man's memory, not only to his family, but to the American people. The FBI should be all over this investigation instead of investigating allegations of, let us say, sensitivity issues in the United States of America. So there's a lot going on here. And we require major league investigations. But I'm going to ask you, he was secretary of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. Remember what we're talking about now. Now we're moving from the military. He was secretary of the U.S. SEC, and he was working on major insider trading investigations. I think we can stop right there. I think we can stop right at the SEC now and put aside all of the military issues for a moment, because, and I have to tell you, my book, Trickle Up Poverty, I spent a whole chapter on my allegations and my offering of evidence that the entire meltdown of our economy was orchestrated by some secret hands, none of whom have been investigated. Now, yesterday I mentioned a new movie out called Wall Street 2 with Michael Douglas, and I liked it a lot. And I said it was directed by the mock Marxist Oliver Stone. And I said he tried to make believe it was Wall Street who was evil, when in fact all movies are made only with the money of Wall Street. The major movies are all made with Wall Street money. And he doesn't name any of the members of the Managed Funds Association in the movie. He doesn't point out any of the people in the hedge fund business. He makes all of the villains kind of people that you would ordinarily suspect. But Oliver Stone does a very good job of throwing mud in our eyes once again and hiding the real villains from the American people, in my estimation. Having said that, now let's look at this. I allege that most of the real villains behind the meltdown of the American economy, and I name some of them, by the way, in Trickle Up Poverty, and I don't intend to be walking anywhere near a subway stop in the near future. But the book is out. Hundreds of thousands of people have read it. Why are none of these individuals the subject of an investigation? How is it that, and again, this is of no relationship whatsoever to this case. This is a completely collateral issue. I want to be very clear about it. How is it that Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, has numerous friends who made tens of millions of dollars as a result of what's going on in this country right now? And none of them have been investigated, by the way, by the government. How is it possible? Well, the answer is pretty clear. Unless you are a patriotic American, you're not the subject of any investigations in this country. That's, of course, not unless you're, let's say, an ordinary run-of-the-mill idiotic criminal. So let's see what you have to say. Let's go to Vero Beach, Florida. Justin, you have an interesting comment. Go ahead, please. Tell us what you think.
Well, Dr. Savage, I really don't believe that the landfill or the garbage had anything to do with a direct message to anybody. But it definitely was a called hit, I would have to say. But it was not professional, though. There's no way that was a professional hit. That was an amateur, quick call, just go do something kind of hit. No way.
Well, look, Justin, I'm not going to press you. I'm not going to say with a joke, you know, is this what you do for a living? But why do you allege this was not a professional assassination?
I mean, for the most part, if it's going to be a professional assassination, it'd be either private or public, not something in between, you know, that just happened to be there's a guy watching that dumpster as it's getting, you know what I mean? And then it just, they see the body, you know? That's very.
Well, are you in the police business, Justin?
I'm sorry?
Are you in the police business?
No, I'm not.
Are you on the other side of the law?
I once was.
And in your estimation, this was what? Somebody said get rid of him, but they weren't specific of how and who?
Exactly. They just called it in. Somebody said okay. And they just called somebody randomly. I mean, nobody's going to ever say anything, but, I mean, you could take perfect example, like the madam from D.C. who
yes.
supposedly killed herself. That was professional.
Now, let's go back a number of years since we're onto something. You remember a few, well, we're talking 10 years ago or so, the former head of the CIA was found dead in his canoe in the Potomac River. Do you remember that one?
No, I can't recall that.
Now, can you imagine a murder like that? The former head of the CIA is found floating dead in his own canoe in the Potomac River, and his lunch is still on the stove at his house. Can anyone explain how the murderer to that was never found?
Somebody didn't want that to be found.
No kidding, right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you, Justin. Let me ask you something, since we're talking about assassinations right now. I just happened to be watching the movie Casino again last night for about 15 minutes, and in it there's a scene towards the end where they start knocking off all the potential witnesses to an investigation of what's going on in Las Vegas, and they kill their own, okay? And in one of the scenes, these older killers go around. Do you remember the scenes at all?
A little back and forth, yep.
Do you remember when one of the characters is shot with a silencer in a parking lot in the back of the head, and when he goes to the ground, the killers walk beside him without looking down. They have silencers, and they dump a bunch of bullets into his body without even looking at him. Is that a typical assassination that's still conducted in that manner?
I personally wouldn't say so. I think a lot more, it's a lot more, I don't know. I mean,
Justin, how hard is it to assassinate somebody in this country?
Very easy.
If the person's not known, how can you stop it? Is that the point?
It's just a matter of, you know, if a person's smart enough to do that type of thing to somebody else, I mean, we have shows that teach us how to go bypass the law. I mean, CSI teaches you different ways every single night on primetime cable how to bypass the law. You know what I mean?
And yeah, right. Some of the brightest minds of our time, instead of inventing the cure or looking for the cure for polio, as they would say, they're trying to help assassins get away with murder.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you learn something. The guys from prison, they learn something extra. You know, it's the whole system thing. But it's very easy to pass, you know, somebody's accident off as an accident. It's very easy to make it look like a gang killing. It's very easy to pass all those things along that it's very easy to just walk away from.
Yep. Well, as a friend of mine said when he came back from Vietnam, he was a rifle commander in Vietnam. He said he visited his uncle in New York, and his uncle was a guy who looked like he was out of The Godfather, he told me, same voice. And although he wasn't in the olive oil business, he was in a similar business. And he said to my friend after the year, he said, so what'd you learn in the army, Joey? And Joey said to the Godfather character, who was his real uncle, I learned how easy it is to die and how hard it is to keep your men alive. And his uncle said to him, you ought to come to work for me. And he said to his uncle, you need me like a reindeer needs a hat rack. So, you know, I mean, I guess guys who've been in combat know how fragile life is what I guess we're saying. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you can't take anything for granted, especially being in that kind of position. And those guys, all those guys know that. They make the wrong move. They don't make the right friends. I mean, look at Hoffa, all those guys, everybody that's in that pay grade, they all know they have to watch their back. And if they feel too comfortable, there's always a chance they vote on the wrong.
Well, why would a guy like Mr. Wheeler, who is a Vietnam veteran, West Point graduate, his father was West Point, why would he have not had some kind of security with him? Why do you suppose?
They're all with Obama.
You mean they were all in Hawaii, all of the protectors, all of the Praetorian Guard was in Hawaii?
Yeah,
They were busy enjoying ice cream and the Aloha spirit.
Yeah. Well,
it's a very tragic story in the real sense of tragedy, because he was a man I think that America really needed and still needs.
No.
When you think about, if the man was in cyber defense, God in heaven, don't you think we needed a man like him?
Oh, yeah, because there's tons of stuff. I mean, your computer probably has one virus that's probably sitting there that can take you down at one switch, you know, and that's what he was doing. He was a member of those committees, you know what I mean? And
Well, he worked for a company called MITRE Corporation. He was assistant, former assistant secretary of Air Force, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, by the way. And he was a consultant to a company called MITRE Corporation, M-I-T-R-E. Don't know what they do. MITRE will not say what Wheeler was doing there. All I can say is, And if there's a mystery writer in the audience, I invite you to call. Justin, let me send you, even though it's after Christmas, I have a few copies left of A Trickle Up Poverty that I want to give away this month. And you just won one for being so, let us say, diligent and staying with us on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Again, I don't want to make more of this tragedy than should be made. On the other hand, I don't know that we should sweep this under the rug so quickly either, in that I have another question. And it's a similar question to the one I raised before. Don't you think it odd that the FBI has not launched a full investigation of this murder? Don't you think it's odd that they would say they're only offering technical assistance to the local police? Huh? Now, whoever killed him didn't want to make it look like a suicide, right? They didn't kill him in front of a crowd of people. So I still believe his murder may have served in part a warning to a certain tight group of people. I invite your comments here on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. By the way, the story can be found on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
About a murder mystery of a top Defense Department consultant. It's not getting the play it should get in this country. I mean, you're also interested in mystery novels, and everyone's so obsessed with thrillers, and everyone's so obsessed with murder, and everyone's so obsessed with CSI. And here's the murder of a top guy in cybersecurity and SEC investigations, and it's swept under the rug. Instead, you're concerned about the president eating an ice cream cone or Nancy Pelosi going to a $10,000 a night room. I mean, those are kind of interesting stories. Birds dropping from the sky is an interesting story. But now you're talking about an assassination, clearly. The FBI is not involved other than as a technical advisor, which is strange, right? Something is wrong with the picture from the top to the bottom. And I'm asking you to play detective. Now, here's a new report that I'm going to read to you out of Philadelphia from Fox 29 on the Savage Nation. We have a witness, so-called a witness, in the John Wheeler case. Fox 29 has an exclusive interview with someone who says they saw former, now they're calling him Bush aide. See, now they're tying it to Bush and Nixon. Here we go already. Wheeler, after he got off a train in Wilmington and before he disappeared. A man named Goldsboro, who was a parking lot attendant, says he encountered a man, was Wheeler, one day before he officially disappeared. And Goldsboro, who is the parking lot attendant, says that a man matching Wheeler's description came up looking for help finding his car, but he appeared disheveled and disoriented. Disheveled and disoriented. The parking lot attendant said the man was wearing a suit and tie, but was only wearing one shoe. Goldsboro said that the man seemed like he was suffering from dementia. Did you hear this? Now, here's a kicker. The news company, Fox 29, tried to get a hold of the surveillance video at that parking lot, at the intersection where he was last seen, to no avail. The surveillance video is gone, or someone took it. Okay? So there's a massive cover-up going on. He really didn't look good to me. I asked him, are you okay? He was like, no. He was just trying to get warm, Goldsboro said. He didn't have a coat on, and it was really cold out this evening, and he had one shoe on. And he was wandering around looking around. He had on a black suit and burgundy penny loafers. And he was holding one shoe in his hand. She said. He just told me he wanted to get warm before he paid for his ticket. Goldsboro explained why she recalled the incident. Quote, he just didn't seem like he was really there. He seemed like he was disoriented. Actually, I thought he had dementia or something. Close quote. Mr. Wheeler left the garage, and he just kind of walked up out of the driveway, and I just kind of stared at him until I couldn't see him anymore, until he was out of my sight. Then after I got off, I kind of followed his footsteps, and I still didn't see him anymore. So like the next morning when I got back to work, I called Wilmington police. Goldsboro says police told her there was nothing they could do. Sounds like the police. Well, the police are saying that Wheeler was killed, but they haven't said how he was killed, when he was killed, where the killing took place. He was found in a dumpster. That's all we know. Last seen in the area of 10th and Orange Streets in Wilmington around 3:30, where there is a Justice Department office. Anyone with information on Wheeler's whereabouts is asked to contact Detective Nicholas Sansoni, and his phone number is listed. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to some callers. New York City, WOR, Craig. Craig, what do you think is going on in this situation? It's all guesswork. Clearly, we don't know. What is it?
Michael, as you were reviewing this man's credentials and history, what stood out to me was the SEC connection, being an investigator. And I immediately came to my mind was some guy started small as a little trader, and then as time went by, he got bigger and bigger, and then the inside trading made him filthy rich. And this man, Mr. Wheeler, was sent to investigate him, caught him. Now he's flat broke, his life is garbage, and he hired a mercenary or a soldier of fortune or something to get rid of this guy and put him.
Wait, you just said something intriguing to me. You actually named the type of person. Are you doing this because you suspect you have an idea, or you're just throwing this up as an example?
Well, like I said, my first impression, as soon as you named his credentials, the military stuff.
Right. Why would Wheeler have been chosen to investigate the SEC? The answer is because he was an expert in cybersecurity. He could crack computers, number one. And number two, he was a great, loyal American who was as honest as the day is long. That's why. So we just lost a great American.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It's Michael Savage blasting across the airwaves of America in 2011. Talking about war and peace, life and death, sex and homicide. We're focusing on the ex-Pentagon official found dumps in a dumpster on New Year's Eve. Prominent man, John Parsons Wheeler. Prominent man, prominent retired Army officer, West Point, Harvard Business School, Yale Law. Top guy in cybersecurity. But interestingly enough, he was involved in investigating the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, as you well know, was the watchdog, supposedly, of Wall Street, while Wall Street ran off with America's wealth. And thus far, none of the top dogs have been investigated or found guilty. Thus far, all the investigations of the SEC, if any, have been directed at middlemen, if not lower than middlemen, while those at the higher echelons of the hedge funds, which are nothing but, in my opinion, unadulterated fraud at the highest level, in one man's opinion, and I'm not a poor man at all. I'm not a communist either. I'm a overt capitalist, but in my opinion, the hedge fund business is the reason that the country went into the economic decline, as I pointed out in Trickle Up Poverty, and still point out. By the way, just mentioning that book as a side note, I just learned today from my publisher that as of last week, it was still in the top 35 of bestsellers on the New York Times list. So it's become a perennial part of the American mental landscape. This was not written simply to be thrown away until the next book comes out. And I highly recommend you reread the Wall Street chapter. But having said that, Here's a man who was investigating the SEC, but more than that, he was involved in cybersecurity. Now, I've asked you to play detective. I asked you to play detective on the Savage Nation. There's so many questions. Number one, an FBI spokesman today said the FBI planned to offer technical assistance in the homicide investigation of John Parsons Wheeler III. Now, why only technical assistance? Don't you think that the FBI should be all over this investigation? Why would they take such a weak approach to this investigation? The FBI investigates far less prominent crimes than this. The FBI is all over everything in this country. Why not this case? Why are they taking such a cool approach to this case? That's question number one. I mean, this is no ordinary guy. He was the driving force behind the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington. Senior Pentagon official for many presidents. And last seen, 3 p.m. December 30th, again, 10th and Orange Streets, in Wilmington, a block that includes the offices of the U.S. Attorney and the Justice Department. No one knows if he was there. No one knows if he had just given testimony. No one knows if he was an expert witness in an investigation. But something in my mind tells me that as the man who helped create the Air Force Cyber Command, there are at least three or four lines of investigation that are wide open right now. And believe me, this is too big for a local police department. Trust me on that one. This is made for the FBI, Defense Intelligence Agency, Naval Intelligence, if there is such a thing anymore. Naval Intelligence has become a joke under this administration. Naval Intelligence. They have the commander of one of our 10 or 11 aircraft carriers, a Sterling captain, a Sterling flyer, and they fire him because he made a goofy video. Who are they going to replace him with? What a bunch of idiots are running this country. Naval Intelligence. But the fact is, this murder needs top-flight investigation. And thus far, I don't think we're getting it. And I think we deserve better. I think this goes to the core of what's wrong with America today. A, that a man of his prominence can be whacked like this, basically in broad daylight, and the FBI's not that interested, or technical assistance. They ought to just hire a writer from L.A. to do technical assistance. A writer from West Hollywood could probably provide technical assistance. What do you think happened here? You've heard the story. You've heard the background. You've heard the connections. You've heard the lines of investigation. I want the callers listening to this show to get involved. And I'll tell you why. Because this goes to the heart of everything that's rotten in Glockamora. Everything that's wrong with America is in this story. This is the heart of what's wrong with America. That a man this prominent can be killed, number one, and number two, that no one seems to give a damn, particularly the government itself, is very worrisome indeed. I feel as though I'm living in a banana republic. Or a third world, a despotic third world junk pile. Something's wrong with this picture. This is something you'd see in Cuba, or Iran, or Syria, or Russia. It's not something you would have seen in the United States of America recently, is it? Sacramento Frank, what do you think happened there? Who killed John Wheeler?
Well, I'd check the Russians or the Chinese. I mean, these guys are famous for catching up with us on the cheap. That's what this START treaty is all about. They can't keep up with us technically or economically, so they bring us down to their level. And that's a very smart way of doing things, and that's, you know, they're stealing our technology. We're disarming ourselves, and it's a, you know, I'd check this guy for poison. You know, the Russians.
Wait a minute, so you're saying that it's easier to have just killed a man ahead of who's so brilliant in cybersecurity than even stealing our cyber technology? Just kill the man who knows it.
Well, it's just one way of getting us off track and bringing us down. You know, it's just
You'd think that the president would be interested in this, wouldn't you? You'd think it'd be something that would concern him. Or what about the opposition party, the Republicans? Where are they on this?
Mike, when they went along with this START treaty, they're no better than the Democrats. They're all the same mold.
Can I ask you a question, Frank? Did you hear me railing against the START treaty from November through December? Did you hear me begging America to pay attention to this? I was trying to warn them what Obama was going to do. I knew the Democrats were all socialists and could care less, but I really didn't think that once after the election came through that the Republicans would join them. I really didn't think they would dare, but I was wrong about that. So, they sold us down the river. What are we going to do about it? Can we reverse this? No, we cannot reverse this. So you think that in addition to disarming us through START, a foreign nation is now going to knock off our leading defense officials who are actually patriotic one at a time? You want to jump to that level?
I wouldn't doubt it. It's an easy way of doing it. If they can't get the technology, you get rid of the people who have the capability of defeating you. It's a real cheap way of doing it. It's actually pretty smart.
Yeah. You think we're engaged in the reverse?
Are we doing it over there? Not with this guy in charge, no.
All right. Very serious and very sad. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Houston, Texas on the Savage Nation. Max, your opinion, please. What do you think?
I think this was a signature assassination. They put him in a dumpster. They emptied it into the dump. The body could have been hidden. This was a catch me if you can. We did it. And if you look at the parallels, do you remember the Canadian ballistic expert George Bull?
Nope, I never heard of that case. What happened there?
George Bull was a Canadian ballistics expert who went to work for Saddam over in Iraq to make these super cannon. And he put it together piece by piece, and he was found murdered in his London apartment. And evidently, you know, the guy said, don't build this for Saddam, and the guys are in Mossad, and they popped him. So to do an assassination is really, really easy. It's no big deal, but this was a signature. Hey, we killed him, and we threw him away. We threw him in the dumps. That signifies something at this point.
All right, so you're saying somebody's sending a message, as I suspected, because I also allege that this is not an ordinary end to, let's say, even an assassination. This was very public. It was also a big message, and there is a message here. You agree with that theory?
Absolutely, and the fact that he appeared in this disheveled state, one shoe off, stumbling around in the cold, somebody had already drugged him and essentially let him run around in a state of confusion, then murdered him and threw him away. What's the most disgusting way you can kill somebody is to throw them in the dump after you've done it. That is just totally no value on life. And if you have a chance, read up on this George Bull. This is a fascinating story.
Max, I hear you. I'm not trying to diminish what you're saying about the other case. So who would want to send such a message, in your estimation? Why would it be so? In other words, let us say let's take one line of theory here, one line of thinking. He was investigating the SEC. They wouldn't have done this. Well, they wouldn't have done it this way, would they?
No, I think it was deeper than that. I put it on the CHICOMs at this point. I agree with your previous caller. This is a signature thing, such as the missile off the California coast. We know who did it. I sincerely believe we did.
You think the Chinese have penetrated our country to that extent?
Absolutely. They're here.
Well, the good thing, though, to remember is that we're protected by a commander-in-chief who was seen eating ice cream cones in Hawaii. That's the important thing, is to know that we have such a powerful, intelligent, vigilant commander-in-chief. That's the important thing to remember.
Who is more after commanders own aircraft carriers worth trillions of dollars, probably, with all the equipment. 6,000 men. They're more interested in ruining a career of a warrior rather than protecting our country.
Yes. No, that's one of the most disgusting cases I've yet to see. The man makes a comic video and he's fired. How many men do you think are capable of running an aircraft carrier?
I can't count them on one hand.
No, I can't count them on one hand either. We have 10 or 11 aircraft carriers. It's probably the most complex piece of machinery in the U.S. military. Probably it is. First, you have to be a top gun flyer. That's number one. Then you have to work your way all the way up through every ship in the Navy. Then you have to be an expert at computers. Then you have to be an expert at management, and they fire this man because a few sensitive groups didn't like the video he made? What kind of military is this? Under Robert Gates, defense secretary? I say to you, Max, I blame the Republicans for this because they should have protected the commander of the aircraft carrier on a secondary note, and certainly I blame the Republicans for not coming out about the death of this Pentagon official without saying a word about it. Because they owe us an explanation, don't you think?
They absolutely do. And this came out 5 years after the fact, back to the Navy commander. 5 years after this was done.
Oh, you mean the Naval commander did this video years ago, right?
Four to 5 years ago is what I understand.
So who was it who released the video now and took him out of command? You could argue it was our foreign enemies, again, who were trying to weaken our Navy. Look at what they took out, a commander of a carrier. Is that correct?
That's correct.
They could put somebody in who just got appointed to run a PT boat, and they want to make the military look a little more diverse so they can move somebody up who can't even drive a PT boat to run the carrier, but then they don't have to do it outside of a port. They could keep it tied up to a dock, and they can make believe he's the commander. Maybe that would work.
Well, we're living in a make-believe government right now, but back to the assassination. Bear my words, this is a signature assassination. We will probably never know who did it, but it was done in public.
Why would the FBI not be all over this investigation is the real question. Why have they dealt with this with such a hands-off response? That's the biggest giveaway of all, don't you think, Max?
Absolutely. They've been told hands-off.
Ah, they've been told hands-off by the commander-in-chief. Yeah. Well, okay, we'll let it go with that. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Well, we're going to bump this story up to the top right on MichaelSavage.com. I probably won't cover it much after today. It's the way talk radio is. I mean, I didn't even see the story as a big one until I went on the air today. It was only minutes before the show that it occurred to me that the death of a major Pentagon official and a Defense Department official and cyber expert and a man investigating the SEC would be found in a Delaware dumpster on New Year's Eve, and that the story would be something that would intrigue America, and that's why I'm talking about it. I mean, I'm not going to make it my life's work. Talk radio is one of well, let's put it this way. People have very short attention spans. There are so many shocks to the system in America under the Obama regime that it's very difficult for you to remember what happened yesterday, let alone tomorrow. Look at my headline of this story, Navy hero fired by punk commanders over smear campaign. Now, here's a Navy captain of an aircraft carrier. We have 11 aircraft carriers the last I checked. I don't remember the exact number. Very few people are capable of running an aircraft carrier. He made a video 5 years ago to entertain his sailors. A few people smeared him, and the punks who run the military fired this guy today. So my headline is different than that you'd read in, let's say, in your local paper, because I am not operating under the same constraints as those in the Society of Professional Journalists, who may as well have worked for Joseph Stalin. Here's my headline. Navy hero fired by punk commanders over smear campaign. To me, that's what it is. See, I'm going to tell you something. I've been thinking about this over the holiday. I'm a little older than most people in talk radio, which is a good thing. I also grew up in a different time, which is even a better thing. And when I was growing up in the 1950s, I was only a child. I read four or five newspaper headlines a day. My father liked newspapers, so we got the Daily News, the Daily Mirror, the New York Post, the Journal American. We never got the New York Times. That was for the rich people who went into Manhattan, so we didn't read it. Later on, when I became a teacher, I bought the New York Times and learned how to fold it and hold it with one hand while hanging onto a strap. I thought it made me sophisticated instead of caused the stigmatism. But the fact is that I grew up on headlines, is what I'm getting at. Like, boy falls out a four-story window and lives. And then there were dots in the Daily News with an arrow showing the kid's trajectory out of the fourth-story window, hitting an awning and bouncing to the street. I like stories like that. It made it easy for me to understand as I was eating my jelly donut on the way to school. So if I worked for the Daily News in the 1950s, my headline would have been Navy hero fired by punk commanders over smear campaign, which is one of the reasons I like talk radio and the web, because I get to say it like it is, as opposed to saying it like, let us say, others would like me to say it like it is. So if you'd like to say it like it is, all you're going to do is dial 1-800-449-8255, and I'll be right back to take your calls.
Savage.
He really didn't look good to me, so I kind of asked him, like, are you okay? So he was like, no. He was just trying to get warm. He didn't have a coat on, and it was really cold out this evening, and he had one shoe on, and, like, he was just kind of like wandering around, just looking around. He had really silver hair. He had on a black suit and burgundy penny loafers.
And he was holding one shoe in his hand, and was he wearing the other shoe?
He was wearing the other shoe.
That's really odd.
That's really odd.
What did he tell you?
He just told me that he was just trying to, he just wanted to get warm before he paid for his ticket. He just didn't seem like he was like really there. He seemed like he was kind of disoriented. Actually, I kind of thought he probably had dementia or something. He just kind of walked up out the driveway, and then I just kind of stared at him until I couldn't see him anymore until he was out of my sight. Then after I got off, I like kind of followed his footsteps, and I still didn't see him anymore. So like, the next morning when I got back to work, I had called Wilmington Police Department.
Yeah, and the police, of course, were interested in where their pensions are, and so they couldn't do anything. Anyway, we talk. That was an eyewitness, allegedly an eyewitness to John Wheeler before he was found dead. I want to show you the level of journalism we have today. The first story I read on this was from a local paper in Wilmington that was excellent. It was just filled with rich detail that would open up three or four lines of investigation. The reporter was excellent. You go to the Wall Street Journal, and the headline is Bush Administration Aide Found in Landfill. You go to the Washington Post, Bush Reagan Aide Found in Landfill. It's astounding to me the lies that are coming out of the major media. You almost have to go to a local paper to get a better story. That's the funny part. You have to go to a local newspaper to get even a hint of what's going on. And that's why I say to you, what do you think is going on? Who are you going to blame this on? The Illuminati? The Ku Klux Klan? The Argentium Astrum, the Mutai, the Order of the Solar Temple, the Tang. You can even name the Mau Mau if you want. Who did this? The Hellfire Club, the Illuminati. Who do you think did this, and why? Is this a warning? New York City, WOR, Russ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Cannibalism. You kill your own soldier. Two teams. Team A, Team B. Let's just say it's Team A. You cannibalize. You kill one of your own soldiers. This casts suspicion on Team A. It solidifies the morale and the cohesion in your own team. Okay, and now Team A is going nuts because the commander's telling their soldiers, look, we didn't do it. Who's the loose cannon? So now they're nuts on the other side going, who's doing this stuff? But all the soldiers on Team A who know that they're not privy to all the information from the top saying we must have done it, you know, so who did it? But they're telling us they didn't do it. So now you've got massive dissension. You also got fear because all the Team A's running around going waiting for the retaliation. Better yet.
I'm losing you. You're saying that you believe this could have been done by our own government?
Well, whoever has the vested interest in killing the guy. You know, you kill your own soldier to, you know, tighten the ship, you know?
No, but why him? The man was a top guy in cybersecurity. What did he know is the issue?
Yeah, well, it's even better if he doesn't know much of anything. You got to figure, I'm trying to make it a dialectical argument, okay?
Wait a minute, slow down. Now this is interesting to me. You mean he wasn't that high up in the pyramid? He was high enough to send a signal, but not that high that he was of any interest to the people in charge, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, he could have been of supreme interest to the people in charge in the sense that we kill our own guy, okay, that makes everybody in the who thinks they're in the know in the community, the larger espionage community, wonder what did he know, you know, who was he playing for, okay? And it solidifies the morale on your side of the espionage canal or team, you know.
Well, wait a minute. Solidifies the morale on whose side?
I'm sorry. I can't make myself more clear to you, Mike. I'm just saying that I think it's historically been done many times. You kill one of your own soldiers to cast suspicion on the other likely party. So everybody.
See, you. I understand. You're making. You're alluding to something without wanting to say it, because if you do so, you'd give yourself. You'd give too much away about yourself. I understand that. So let's go back in time, Russ. And I'm certainly not going to try to embarrass you. You're too smart for it anyway. Do you remember my reference in the last hour to the death of a former CIA chief who was found floating in his own canoe?
Yeah, that was a little creepy, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, just happened to be floating upside down in the Potomac, right? Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Did they ever find who did that?
Not to my knowledge, no.
No. There was never any conclusion to that investigation, and so therefore we must assume that we, the little people, will never know who killed Mr. Wheeler.
I would assume that. Yeah, I mean,
can you go as far as to say to me, in your estimation, given that you have an educated opinion, in my estimation, whether this was related to defense or SEC work that he was doing?
Only the people who are intimately involved, and, you know, you want to make it, the best thing is to keep everybody guessing.
He sure has us guessing. He has us guessing.
Well, you keep your own soldiers guessing, you keep the other soldiers guessing. Okay, now they're paralyzed, and that's the best thing you can do in a situation where you don't want anything resolved. Just paralyze everybody. Paralyze them.
Well, I guess I'm not smart enough to have been an intelligence officer, only smart enough to have been a talk show host, because I'm not quite sure how people operate at that level. Truthfully, I can't even think that way. My mind doesn't even work that way. I guess it's too, I don't even know the right word for it. I'm not that limited in my thinking, but I do have my limits in my thinking. There are great limits in my thinking, and I'm aware of it. That's the funny part, is I have limits in my ability to think through things. But I'm aware of my limits, and I think that that's an asset, truthfully.
Well, it's just the mark of a moral human being. What I'm saying is the people with real power have no morals. They will kill their own in order to, because it suits their purpose. Nobody below them, everybody that reveres the higher up on their side, thinks, oh, they would never do such a thing. That's how it casts suspicion on the other side.
Yes. No, I'm following you, but I can't even comprehend why they would have done this. What is the message of throwing him in a dumpster? Obviously, it's to warn somebody or many people about how they're going to end up if they pursue the same lines of, let us say, investigation that the Wheeler was following.
Yeah, and it could be as plain and simple as an equivalency. That is, Wheeler was garbage. Anybody who crosses with us, they're garbage.
Mm-hmm. Very strange indeed. Russ, thank you very much for chilling me to the bone here on the Savage Nation. Oh, sometimes I think I'm innocent at the end of the day. I'm alive over six decades, and sometimes I think I haven't learned very much. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. I think this story has certainly got ears, if not legs, and there are many ears out there listening to this. There's certainly enough people with brains who are wondering what the heck is going on in this country when we have a president who is so thin in, let us say, abilities, thin in experience, thin in leadership, thin in physical prowess, who's ever seen on a golf course or licking an ice cream cone. He's sort of the, let it at that. And there's no investigation here to speak of. The FBI's taking a hands-off approach. Let's go to Tucson and see what Ryan has to say. Ryan, what do you think is the story here?
Well, I think because it's a sloppy murder, or it's a sloppy assassination, because he was found drugged and walking around. And I think any of the other countries that some of the callers were speaking about, you'd have a team that would clean him up well enough, wouldn't let him walk around like he did. And
so, in other words, this is more of an amateur assassination.
Could be. And because the FBI is not involved, and because of certain saber rattling up from the Middle East, particularly Iran, I think it's Iran, because we've got, he's from the Department of Defense working on cybersecurity, and you had a top colonel or a general over there saying they're going to get somebody back for the...
Yes, no, I saw that. Yes, and of course, we had at the early part of the show, a man called and said that Wheeler was involved in the Stuxnet virus that wiped out some of Iran's nuclear capacity. So you think this could be a retaliation?
Yep, they were saying they wanted to, and you got a top general over there who's bold enough to speak up like that, and you have the FBI keeping hands off.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty likely it's something like that.
Well, it's pure evil. It is absolutely pure evil, in my estimation, to not investigate this assassination. We the people certainly deserve better in a time of such uncertainty. Don't you agree with that?
I certainly do.
I mean, the people are very frightened in this country. They're perplexed. And the last thing we need is a murder like this without any solution. But worse yet is a murder like this with a government saying, who gives a damn? It just tells us how little regard they have for human life is what it comes down to.
Yep.
That's really what I'm, you know what, why is it affecting me? It's not really affecting me. I don't know the man. I have no vested interest in this investigation. I'll tell you why. I highly value patriotism. I highly value higher education. And when I see a brain like this thrown away like a piece of garbage into a landfill, it bothers me deeply. In a society filled with such trash, you know, when I watch TV at night and I see cops and I see the trash in this society, I have to say to you, the human trash that the cops have to pick up every day, it gets me sick to see that we have to pay for their medication and their education and their incarceration and their legal costs. I see all of the emphasis in the society on waste and wasted human beings. And then you see a man who's really worth something, especially for our national security, thrown into a garbage dump and, oh, ho-hum, let's go on to the latest bashing of the Republicans or bashing the Democrats, or let's talk about this trivia or that trivia. All of our, you know, there's a saying in is it homeo? No, it's in acupuncture, I believe, in the field of acupuncture and medicine, that when some people can't evaluate things properly and their emotions are all over the map, the acupuncturists say that their sorter is out, S-O-R-T-E-R. It doesn't even exist anatomically. There's no such thing as a sorter in the human body. But to Chinese medicine, there is a sorter, something that establishes and maintains balance in the human being. We are a nation that has lost its sorter, and maybe a gigantic acupuncture needle is what we need. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm searching some of the websites that I use on a daily basis, and this story isn't even on there. I look at Fox News. They have Ahmadinejad took a face smack. Dems criticize GOP. New target is Palin's teen daughter. Navy captain's career sinks over video. Not one mention on Fox News. Here, Pam Anderson, stalker, maced on train. Dita's burlesque now on CSI. You gotta really take your hat off to Mr. Murdoch. He surely sure has a sorter going from in Fox News. You know, he really does. He has it all balanced. Everything's in proportion there. So now I go to some of the other websites. I'm not going to mention them. Instead, I just took a cheap shot at Fox News for obvious reasons. But here's CNN, okay? Not one word about this death. Not one word. It's garbage to them. UK has the best chefs. Huck Finn with no N-word. Josh Groban sings Kanye West's tweets. Shot fired at University Hospital. Obama staff shakeup imminent. Five gadget trends to watch. This is CNN, mind you. This is the news network. It's not even here. You look at U.S., no report of his death. Politics, no report of the death. World headlines, no report of the death. Do you actually think you're living in a country with a free press? Do you really think you're living in a country with a free press? Let's put it another way. Where's the free press in this country? Sacramento, Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. What do you think?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Savage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's interesting. All your callers are pretty much taking my thunder. But, yeah, basically, I don't think we live in a James Bond world anymore. I think it's I think that's all you see on you see James Bond on TV, and that's about it. I think there's no doubt that this guy he lived in a spider web, as they call it. And I think the WikiLeaks thing might have something to do with it.
Wow. Whoa, that's an interesting lead. What makes you suspect so?
Well, I for sure don't think it's his neighbor.
No. It's interesting that they brought up the land dispute with his neighbor. I thought that was just throwing dust in our eyes. I thought that was a nightmare for the neighbor to throw that in here.
Well, the way this country is now, it could be payback for anything. I mean, hate to say it, you know, the way the left has become so rabid in this country, this could be payback for even an election.
That's interesting. You mean he worked too hard on a Republican campaign? And wait, okay, he dug up some dirt on a Democrat who just lost, something along those lines?
Yeah, something like that. Let me tell you, let me ask you a question. Last night I watched all these giggling Democrats in California, including Arnold Schwarzenegger Kennedy, clapping as the idiot was into office tonight.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes.
So I kind of watched that thousands of people there clapping, and it kind of irked me a little bit.
Yeah, it irked me, too, to think that Schwarzenegger, who's always been a stealth Democrat, is happy to go to work for Obama as the global warming chief. Did you hear that? I mean, that really suits his intellect just perfectly, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And let me tell you something. I'm an ex-Navy pilot. I flew the F-14, the flying tennis court, as we called it. And I have no doubt that other poor guy was taken out.
All right, well, thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a few minutes left in this hour to take your calls, and then we're going to go on to other topics on this show. Let's go to Portland, Oregon, one of my favorite cities on the West Coast. I wouldn't say my favorite. San Francisco is my favorite city. That's why I live here. Portland, Matt, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. I want to ask or think about what's been going on over the last 2 to 3 years with take terrorism and almost terrorism, and think about all of the almost that have happened. Iran coming online nuclearly, our total lack of support for Israel, and start thinking about some of these pieces. As you say on your show quite often, you talk about the Muslims coming over and bleeding us financially with social services. If you start thinking about it and putting all of these into respect, you cry wolf too much, people don't pay attention anymore. You've got Obama in office.
Well, let's cut to the chase. What is it that you're alluding to? What do you think? Who's behind this? Who did it? And why?
Well, I think it could be China and Tehran, to be honest with you. China wants us. I mean, who's launching nukes or two-stage missiles off our West Coast?
Well, let's stop for a minute. Let's really get into a conspiracy for a minute. China is trying to build its first aircraft carriers. China just allegedly developed a missile that could destroy one of our aircraft carriers, which is very worrisome. Why do they have to build aircraft carriers if they can use the enemy within this country, the American vermin left, the degenerate vermin left, to dig up a video that an aircraft carrier captain made 5 years ago and destroy this man's career? What do you need to sink an aircraft carrier if you can sink the captain? So let's start with number one. Now let's go to the level of cybersecurity. Why do you need to worry about whether or not the United States can crack your code if you kill a code breaker? So I think that there's some lines of reason here that a reasonable person can investigate. And I think that any rational individual listening to the show should be very frightened indeed. When you look at the ice cream licker in Honolulu, we don't even know where he is or where Waldo is or when he's coming back, or why Waldo is getting so skinny, or why Waldo's wife is eating ice cream while telling us to let them eat carrot sticks and things of that nature. And Madam Pelosi in a $10,000 a night suite, not one word of this from John Boehner, the pink shirts. Where are the pink shirts now that we need them? The answer is nowhere, my friends, because they've never been anywhere. Welcome to America.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. This is the Savage Nation. Masses of dead birds have been falling out of the sky, both in Arkansas and Louisiana. I don't know whether this is a warning from God, but we've been trying to find out where the peripatetic Bill Clinton is. Now, certainly we're not blaming Bill Clinton for this, but he is nowhere to be found, and until we know his whereabouts and whether he's been giving speeches in these states, we cannot rule it out. 1-800-449-8255. Obama's pictured once again on vacation. I think he's back now, slurping an ice cream cone, looking very, very thin. What do you fear about this ice cream eating administration? A man eats junk food, his wife eats junk food, and he gives us lectures on health food. Well, it's called hypocrisy. There's nothing new about that. Here's some news story. Schwarzenegger, the worst governor in American history, is out of office, and in his last days, he pardoned the son of a Democrat whose son murdered somebody. Yeah, look it up. It's on michaelsavage.com. That's right. He pardoned the murderer. Schwarzenegger tweeted to Medvedev of Russia, "Let's go skiing." Yeah, okay, sure, let's go skiing. The son of the late Shah of Iran killed himself in Boston. That's an unusual story. It's never pleasant to report of suicide, but that's an odd one. The son of the late Shah of Iran killed himself in Boston. That just came in on the Savage Nation. Ex-Reagan and Bush aide killed, dumped in a landfill. It's a very disturbing and frightening story for a couple of reasons. He's a prominent retired Army officer. He's a former Vietnam veteran. He was last seen near a building that includes federal offices. And he's found in a dump in a landfill in Delaware. Ex-Reagan Bush aide is what they call him. But there's much more to that story, isn't there? We don't know the man personally, but the story is right out of a mystery novel. He's a retired Army officer, as I say. And his name was John Parsons Wheeler. And the man had deep connections in the defense establishment. On December 28th, Wheeler, age 66, who was a driving force behind the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, and by the way, a former senior Pentagon official, is found dead on New Year's Eve in a landfill a few miles from his Newcastle home. Well, let's look into this for a minute. On December 28th, he was scheduled to take an Amtrak train from his consulting job with a defense contractor, MITRE Corporation, outside Washington, to the Wilmington, Delaware stop. 3 days later, his body is found in a dump. Well, what is that all about? I don't know, but if you were writing a mystery novel, how would you put the pieces together in this one? This is no lightweight guy. From 05 to 08, Wheeler was a special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force, and he helped create the Air Force Cyber Command. In addition to helping launch MADD and leading the organization that built the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Wheeler worked for the SEC on investigations of illegal insider trading and for the Pentagon on cutting-edge issues. Let's pause right there. If you were in the FBI and you were assigned the murder, the homicide, which they're calling it now, of Mr. Wheeler, and you learned the facts I have already given you on the Savage Nation, where would you start your investigation? So let's repeat some of them. From 05 to 08, Mr. Wheeler was a special assistant to the Secretary of the Air Force, and he helped create the Air Force Cyber Command. Okay? That's number one. He also worked for the SEC on investigations of illegal insider trading. He also worked at the Pentagon on cutting-edge issues. We don't know what they are. This was not a lightweight guy. He was a graduate of Harvard Business School, a graduate of Yale Law School, a graduate of West Point. He created a Vietnam Veterans Job Program for the administration of Reagan and the Earth Conservation Corps for at-risk use for the administration of President George H.W. Bush. So what do you think happened here? What else did he do? And after he leaves the Army, he has all sorts of high consulting positionships. If you were a mystery writer, how would you write this story? Now, what's interesting to me is that the newspapers are putting out a story that he was at odds with a neighbor. And that, to me, is kind of bad journalism, okay? He and his wife were at odds with a couple that were building a home across from his three-story red brick duplex in a historic part of Newcastle, Delaware. They claimed that the new home was too large for the location, would block his views, and they filed a lawsuit against the neighbor. So what are we supposed to believe? That the neighbor had him whacked over a, let's say, a land dispute? Well, let's go to michaelsavage.com because I've collected all the stories that I could find that I think are worth looking at today, and I've ranked them in the order that I think they're important to look at. Let's start with the biggest story, and that is Russia and the U.S. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the headline from the Washington Times says, New Start Fails to Alter the One-Way Street. What does that mean? Less than 2 weeks after Obama and the U.S. Senate ratified a key arms control treaty that the White House promised would help reset ties with Moscow, Russian authorities arrested pro-democracy activists. Next on Michael Savage, read this one. A Navy hero was fired by his punk commanders who smeared him, saying he made so-called raunchy videos. Now remember, this Navy captain was commanding an aircraft carrier. He was entertaining his sailors, and they fired him because he made a kind of jokey video. This is the new military under Gates and Mullen, and I should say under Obama, Commander Obama. From the New York Daily News, Glenn Beck dropped by WOR in New York City over poor ratings, according to the New York Daily News. Also a Michael Savage, the Army will evaluate the mental state of the suspect in WikiLeaks. From Fox, Schwarzenegger under fire for cutting sentence of Democrat crony's son. Did you hear about that one? Schwarzenegger, in his last days, reduced the prison sentence of the son of former Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez, Esteban Nunez, who participated in the killing of a college student. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger for you. This is all on Michael Savage, and I'd like to point you to the stories that we're going to be talking about today on the Savage Nation, probably over the next few days. GOP ISA outlines broad array of probes. Here's an interesting one from the AP. A murdered Filipino politician actually caught the man who killed him on a camera. Yeah, you can't believe this. He was taking a picture of his own family. The gunman appeared behind his family with a gun pointed at him. And the last picture in his camera shows the gunman about to kill him. An alarming story is out of Delaware. Ex-Reagan and Bush aide killed and dumped in a landfill. It's a frightening story because he's a decorated Vietnam veteran. You would think he would know better, but somebody he knew must have done this to him. This is the Savage Nation. We're looking at michaelsavage.com. You can call the show at 1-800-449-8255. Bloodiest ever. Drug wars killed 3,111 in the border city of Ciudad Juarez. What else is in the news? Obama spends nearly half his presidency outside the District of Columbia, and he plans to travel more. Now, if you haven't seen this, it's important that you do. Over 1,000 scientists have now challenged the global warming fantasy in a new report. More than 1,000 dissenting scientists from around the globe have now challenged man-made global warming claims made by the United Nations and Al Gorleone. And Al Gorleone is nowhere to be found, by the way. Here's another one, and you're not going to believe this. In Minnesota, Father Christmas has been banned after Muslim family complains. I can't even comment on this one. It's so sad. Out of London, a liquid biopsy blood test to tackle cancer. Well, I don't know. I hear these reports. I don't know whether to believe them. Peer-reviewed paper. Carbon dioxide has nothing to do with the warming of the atmosphere. Okay? Read the study. It's all on my website. A murderer is to inherit a fortune from the victim he killed. Heroin addict Brandon Palladino will inherit the house when he sprung from jail. There's American justice. And finally, what's next to die in Arkansas? 100,000 fish found dead in a river after 1,000 blackbirds fell from the sky. We are still investigating as to whether Bill Clinton secretly visited the area over the weekend. But thus far, it remains a mystery. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
It's been on my website for 2 weeks now. Obama's nuke deal, treason question mark. See what's in the Star Treaty, pages 269 to 274. And I say that the Socialist Democrat Party sold us out to Russia. I warned you about this for the months leading up to this last-minute sellout of America. I tried to stop it. I failed. I admitted I wrote a whole chapter on the Star Treaty. It's all in trickle-up poverty. I'm not trying to sell you a book. It did very well indeed. Those of you who bought the book know that I spelled out what Obama actually did to us. But did you actually expect, I think it was 8 Republicans would join in signing the Star Treaty? Did you know that Scott Brown, who I called a fraud and a phony from day 3, that I was the first one to warn you that Scott Brown was nothing but a naked politician? I told you that from the beginning. I saw it coming. But I didn't realize that they would go as far as to give up our national security so nakedly and so overtly as they did with the Star Treaty. Tyranny by Decree, it has been written by Robert Knight in an article on MichaelSavage.com. He says that over the past year, it's become obvious that what leftists cannot win at the ballot box, they will accomplish via bureaucratic dictate. Well, with the Republican Party being what it is, they don't need bureaucratic dictate. They've got enough quislings in the Republican Party to virtually run this country, let us say, off the rails, completely off the rails. And so that's why I say you can get your politics any way you want, newspapers, radio, television, other radio shows, you got all of the cable channels, and I myself can't watch much of it anymore. There's only so much news I can absorb without throwing my hands up in disgust. I see a president, a minor pharaonic figure, sort of a minor pharaonic figure, that's all he really is, acting at the role of president. I see as Treasury Secretary Geithner, whose friends have made millions of dollars on Wall Street, a guy who's acting as Treasury Secretary when you know he's just a front man for the real powers that be. Wherever I turn, I see shills. I see Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, the woman who refuses to close the borders with Mexico despite the drugs and the gangs. And here she is over in Qatar or Qatar or Afghanistan telling them how they can control border security. It gets preposterous, but it isn't preposterous. We're literally losing our nation. And let me tell you something. You can call me anything you want, but you better get it right. I'm simply a conservative nationalist patriot. Forget the party affiliation. I don't want a party affiliation. I'm a conservative nationalist patriot. It's as simple as that. I'm also an animal rights advocate. I'm also an ardent conservationist. So if you want to put me into a little box, you're going to find out that there is no little box in which you can quietly put Michael Savage. So we're living in times that people are very, rightly so, not strange, they're worried. They don't know where the country is. They don't know where the center of the country is. They don't know who to believe in. People don't know where to turn. You're going to turn to that creation, Obama the Destroyer? You're going to tell yourself that's really a leader? That man really cares for America? That man really has America's interests at heart? You're going to believe that? I don't believe it, not for a second. He wouldn't be the first, nor will he be the last charlatan to sit inside Pennsylvania Avenue. But it's what we have right now. The Congress, with your hard work, with the hard work of talk radio and the internet, 70 people were thrown out of Congress because they were into the opposite of what America stands for. So 70 of them got thrown out. And you thought that we had a majority all of a sudden. And what did these traitorous SOBs do during the so-called last days of their reign of terror? They passed so many different treaties, so many horrendous strikes against the heart of America, the worst being the START treaty. They sold us down the river. They gave away one-third of our nuclear stockpile. They agreed to give up 50% of our strategic bombers and 50% of our nuclear submarines. Not one newspaper that I know of wrote that. Not one of the schmucks in the news media even bothered to read the Star Treaty. The same schmucks who call themselves journalists who never read the health care bill. I read it. It's in my book. I wrote a whole chapter on what it actually has in it. That's right. We have no leadership. We have no inspiration. There's nobody leading the troops. There's nobody leading the Congress. There's nobody leading the people. And so each one of us has to become our own leader. It's not that I'm not intending to lead you anywhere. I'm not Moses. I don't intend to part the Red Seas. I don't intend to appear in a stadium and tell you I'm the Messiah. I am just telling you that each one of us must now reach back into our distant ancestral past and find that spark that leads us back to the divinity that's in all of us, because it is in us. Every man walking this planet, and it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or humble or great or egotistical or lost, inside you there is an ember that still glows that with the proper oxygen can turn into a flame. And when that flame is lit inside of you, there's virtually nothing you can't do. I saw this in my own life when things had not worked for me. I told you the story, and I don't want to bore you with it again, but I met a religious man. He told me that if you find God, you can move mountains. I didn't even know what he was talking about. It made no sense to me. I didn't understand what he meant by move mountains. I moved a mountain. I went from being unemployed to a best-selling author to a famous radio host, all because of that turning inside myself. It doesn't mean it happened with a presto, with a rod. I had to walk through glass. I had to walk over hot coals, and I still do every day of my life. But so what? That's what God wants me to do, so that's what I'm doing it for. So what I'm saying to you is, in a long and short of it, without sounding like I'm trying to give you a whole speech here, which I've already done, so forgive me, I'm telling you that within all of us there's some kind of divine spark. And America right now has nobody breathing oxygen into the sparks within us on a national level. And here we are. Here we are, like everybody else, wondering, where's the president? Why is he on vacation? Where's the leadership? Why are they out to lunch? Why are our men dying in Afghanistan? Nobody even knows what the mission is. How did they come up with such phony policies as they're running today? We ask these questions over and over again. How does a man as inexperienced as Timothy Geithner remain as Treasury Secretary while his friends feast on the tens of millions of dollars and none of them have been investigated by Congress? How is this possible, we ask ourselves.
Savage.
There's another topic, which is very near and dear to me. I've decided to spend a good portion of the rest of my time on Earth defending ending lab testing on chimpanzees. Let me be very blunt with you. I want to end all lab testing on chimpanzees, and I'm going to explain why. Let me take us back to where we are. The Islamofascists are dehumanizing the world by killing even their own co-religionists with such brutality and a lack of humanity. Many of us are starting to become less and less human on this planet. And in the midst of fighting an Islamo-fascist enemy that treats its victims less than human, we must remember and reaffirm our own humanity. We must remember that we have a responsibility to the innocent animals that God has placed on this earth. And because of that, and because of the fact that technology has eliminated the need for lab testing on chimpanzees, I am going to work to end such cruel and inhumane testing immediately. Now, I know there are others who have been working on this for ages, but I'm going to join them. You see, chimpanzees have a similar range of emotions to humans. Chimps feel themselves being strapped to a gurney. They feel when they're being tortured in a lab. They feel when they're being given diseases. They can also see their mates and friends being tortured in front of their eyes in laboratories, because all you got to do is go into a lab and hear them screaming out as their mate or their family or their friends are strapped to a gurney and tortured by these sick doctors. I say end all animal experiments on chimpanzees now. Now you say, Savage, where is this coming from all of a sudden? Is this something new? How come you're all of a sudden concerned about chimpanzees? In a way it's new and in a way it's old. I began as a graduate student a long time ago. In fact, I don't know if I told you the story, but I lost a fellowship in 1968. In a laboratory, because I wouldn't kill lab animals. Let me take you back there for a minute, in case you have the wrong impression of me. You may as well get the right impression of me. I think it was 1968, and I went back to graduate school, somewhat of an adult at the time, and I was working in a pharmacology laboratory. I won't say which university, which I really detested doing, because I heard my ancestors speaking to me and saying, "You've come this far in life to clean rat feces." But what I couldn't do was, I didn't want to kill even the rats. I wouldn't kill them. There was a midget that worked in the laboratory, to the rats, as she broke their necks and really pithed their spines. So here was what happened. I had no money. I was a young graduate student, and I had a $300 a month stipend. $300 a month was enough to live on in those days. I had nothing else. I just arrived in this faraway place with my then girlfriend, and the lab guy who brought me out there said, "Here's the ultimatum that you have. You either kill the animals like you're supposed to, or I'm pulling your fellowship." I said, well, go ahead and pull my fellowship because I'm not killing animals. And I left the lab, and I had to wander around, and I wound up in a botany laboratory, and that's when I moved into botany because I didn't think I'd have to kill animals. But the point I'm making is we have an obligation to be good shepherds to our animal friends. And chimpanzees, of all the animals, of all of them, they are so close to us genetically. There's only a few enzymatic differences between us and chimps. I know many of you find it offensive because you don't even understand what I'm saying to you, but the truth is they're very closely related to us. The important thing to know is that they have a full range of emotions. Their bad luck, here's their bad luck. The bad luck for chimps is that they get the same disease as we do. And because they get the same disease as we do, the chimps are often substituted for humans in laboratories. So they're tortured by these sadistic so-called scientists for medical research. Now, I'm not against medical research, but I understand that with the advent of the computer and computer modeling, there's no need to do this to chimpanzees at all. And if you go into a laboratory, as I say, and you see what they do to chimpanzees, I think most of you would agree with me, your stomach would turn. When they take out one of the family members or friends of a chimpanzee, you say they don't know what's going on, listen to them scream in pain and go crazy as they watch their brother, their uncle, their cousin, or their girlfriend being strapped to a gurney by a sadist in a white coat. And as you hear their friend struggling to free themselves from the drugs and the chains to the gurney, believe me, they have the same range of emotions. It would be like experimenting on a human being by Dr. Mengele, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I wouldn't apply the same to a rat. I wouldn't apply the same to a rabbit. I would apply this concept to a chimpanzee owing to the close similarity between the chimpanzee and the human being. So that's one of the topics I really do want to talk about, which is ending animal testing on chimpanzees. And if you think this is an odd thing for a conservative talk show host to be talking about, you're right, because I'm not a conservative talk show host. I'm an independent. That is correct. I actually walk the walk and I talk the talk. I've been searching for over a year now, searching my soul, as it were, of what to do with the few good years I may have left on this earth. And the more I have studied this, the more I realize it brings me back to my beginnings in science, where I refused to kill animals. And it really did a lot of good for me, as a matter of fact, by walking out on that bastard's laboratory. By the way, he eventually died of brain cancer. It's a funny thing, which is not to say that everyone who gets brain cancer was torturing animals, but I thought it was quite interesting that this very doctor who threw me out of the lab because I wouldn't kill animals and he knew I had nowhere to go. I mean, he gave me an ultimatum, you know, either you kill the animals or I'm taking back your fellowship. I had nothing, but I always found in life, and I've done this in business too, I've walked out of business deals when I had almost nothing, where there was a lot of money on the table, where I knew my heart would die if I stayed another day in a certain company. And I did this years ago. I won't even tell you the company. And I quit that day and left the city. I didn't even know what tomorrow would bring. And you know what it brought me? Radio. And I have found in my life that whenever I let my instincts, my soul, whatever you want to say, dictate the course of my events, it always works out best for me. And that's why I'm saying I think that we need to focus today as an American people on what's happening to us as people. The Islamo-fascists are dehumanizing the world. When you see them cutting Daniel Pearl's throat and you hear the blood-curdling cry, of course, that's been buried because you're not supposed to remember who they really are. Or when you hear them making him say, I am a Jew, my mother was a Jew, my father was a Jew, and then they cut his head off. Again, you're not supposed to remember any of that. That's one thing. But we must not let the Islamo-fascists dehumanize us. But what we can do is remember that we have a responsibility to protect these innocent creatures that God has placed on this earth along with us. There is no need to experiment and torture these chimpanzees anymore. They can use computer modeling. There are other ways to do this. This is a throwback to the 19th century. And many of the people that I have met in my life in animal research are the most sadistic people on the planet. And they use the animals to work out their sadism. You know, and I know many of you are saying, you know, what's he talking about? This is not conservative. A real man, you know, eats animals and kills them. Well, you know what? Say what you want. I'm telling you what I think. That's all.
Savage.
Here's a good story for you who are germophobic. I'm a germaphobe. If anyone sneezes, I leave the room. I was in a house of worship 3 weeks ago. Everything was going well till a sneezer appeared 2 rows ahead of me. I left. That's all. God would have to understand, I figured. A sneeze, but it was not just a sneeze. I'm not talking about a dust sneeze. This was a mucosal sneeze that could have infected the entire house of worship. And the guy didn't do it once. He did it 5 times. That's it. Goodbye, Charlie. I was out of there. So I guess I'm a germophobic in that regard because I say to people, I don't shake their hand. I do the ghetto thing with the fist. It's a smart thing. It's very Chinese. I like it. People try to shake my hand. Now I do the ghetto thing, like a basketball with the fist. They laugh. I say, well, I do it because I don't have to touch your hand. I said, they're smart. The Chinese shook their own hand. They were even smarter yet. You went to shake it. Remember the ancient like pictures? They'd shake their own hand. They were, well, I need to touch your hand? What's handshakes about? So, anywho, I don't, if I'm in a room, a sneeze, a cough, once is okay, but if it's very fluid, there's a lot of fluid, I leave. I don't like, because I know it's spraying. Even from high school days, they showed, how come in my day, if they showed a sneeze, they showed it in slow motion, and how far a sneeze spread the germs? Like a, so 12, 15 feet, right? You knew to avoid. My mother said, don't use a public water fountain. And there were other kids, they stick their mouth fountain in Queens. They had like stone fountains and like water. And it was always like never a lot of enough water. It was always like within a quarter of an inch of the spout. There was always like a schmuck who'd put his mouth over the, he'd like suck on it. You'd think the guy was crazy. I wonder where those kids wound up. They have to have wound up working in government somewhere. I don't mean for Obama. Let's not get absurd. Like the MTA, something like that. So what I'm getting at is I've always been germophobic, and I read a story today that Norway has practically wiped out the superbug that was infecting the nation and has made Norway one of the most infection-free nations in the world. And take a guess what they did to wipe out the superbug in Norway. It's not that they took a drug. It's not that they ate certain foods. It's not that they exercised. It's not that they instituted Obamacare with another incompetent doctor telling you nothing and to go home and take an antibiotic. It's the opposite. Do you know what they did to eliminate the superbug? Do you know what they did to eliminate the contagious staph infection that had been killing tens of thousands of patients in the most sophisticated hospitals of Europe, North America, and Asia this year? Norwegians stopped taking antibiotics. In fact, it became a crime for a doctor to prescribe an antibiotic unless it was a medical necessity. Now, how many doctors in this country will have a patient come in with a sort of non-specific symptoms of a cough, and they'll give you an antibiotic? And the patient, you know, doesn't know any better, and they take it. And I tell people, is it a viral infection or a bacterial infection you have? Duh, I don't know. I said, well, you may be making it worse with an antibiotic. And they look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. But now Norwegian doctors know what they're talking about. And they prescribe fewer antibiotics than any other country. So people do not have a chance to develop resistance to these antibiotics. And that comes down to the whole story. A doctor says there, if I treated someone with an infection in Spain with this penicillin, I would probably be thrown in jail. And rightly so, because it's useless there. It's a type of penicillin they use on a very specific type of infection. And they say Norwegians now are sanguine about their coughs and colds, toughing it out through low-grade infections. We don't throw antibiotics at every person with a fever. We tell them to hang on, wait and see, and we give them a Tylenol to feel better. Now, I don't use Tylenol. I don't use drugs like that because they're toxic. They're liver-damaging, in my opinion. They're absolutely to be avoided, most of these drugs, incidentally, particularly if you have a hangover. Don't you dare use any of those over-the-counter medications. If you have to use anything, use an aspirin. Don't go near those other acetaminophens. You're just going to wind up with a liver transplant eventually. They're toxic to the liver. They're toxic to the kidneys. I've been saying this for 15 years. I've been writing about it for 15 years. I didn't do the original research, but I knew enough to study the original research and to publicize it. And so in Oslo, Norway, they have soothing but non-medicated lozenges, sprays, and tablets. All workers are paid on days they or their children stay home sick. And drug makers aren't allowed to advertise reducing patient demands for prescription drugs. Now, compare that to America, where every other ad is for a medication primarily for painkillers. Every other medication is a painkiller in America. Every normal quirk and slight this, they want you to drug it to death, and you wonder why there's such a line for a liver transplants in this country. Anyway, the bottom line is that the use of antibiotics became out of control in Norway, and the staph infections became rampant because of the use of the antibiotics. The staphylococcus became penicillin resistant. And now, because they've cut back on antibiotics for generic use, the people are getting better. And the question is, can Norway's program really work elsewhere? I don't want to do a medical show right now, but the solution to kill a superbug found in Norway, the solution is cut back on antibiotics. And your take-home message is, the next time Dr. Quack gives you an antibiotic for a cold or a cough, say to Dr. Quack, is it a viral infection or a bacterial infection? If Dr. Quack gets mad at you and says, I don't know, then don't ever go back to Dr. Quack. But that's neither here nor there. New York City, WOR Anna, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savage, for talking about this. It's a testament to your humanity, and if I ever hear a liberal insult you again, I'm just going to bring this up because you have the courage to discuss this issue. These chimps.
Well, I don't know whether it's a liberal conservative issue. I think it's a human issue. And I think this is something that should not unite all of us. I want to be very clear. I believe that we as a species are becoming dehumanized by the Islamo-fascists. When we see how they treat their fellow co-religionists even, blowing up marketplaces, killing fellow Muslims, all in the name of some political ideology that they mask in a religious ideology, we cannot let them dehumanize us. And I'm saying the best way to make to save our humanity is to save the animals. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked to people, friends of mine who work in pharmaceutical companies, though, and similar to what happens with the Islamofascists is the way that you get used to working in this field, and it's a dehumanizing practice, you know?
That's right, exactly. Oh, well, I'm just going to go to work today and take a chimpanzee, I'm going to inject him with a tranquilizer. His family members are going to scream in the cages that he was brought in with as we wheel him out in a gurney and he's helpless. And then when we poke him and prod him and, let's say, maybe blind him, take an eye out of him, you can hear the other animals screaming through the wall because they know what's going on. No, this has to end.
Absolutely. And it's one step.
I'll tell you something. We should see more of these videos rather than fewer. That's all. Remember, I told you, I walked out of, I want to make it about me, but it is about me. You got to understand, it is about me. People have a history in their life, and very often their history is fraudulently altered for political reasons. So this is what I want to do right now. 1-800-449-8255, Kansas City, Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to quote William Blake in support of the great English poet, in support of what you're saying. And it's, each outcry of the hunted hare, a fiber from the brain does tear. A horse misused upon the road calls to heaven for human blood. And, you know, what you're really saying, Michael, is what the many of the great Jewish rabbis did in their day to protect society from moving in the direction of the greater sins. They built walls where you knew you were getting in breaking distance of the greater sins. So by being humane to the chimpanzees, what you're really saying is we need to build a wall from sliding into greater inhumanity in our...
Exactly. We're going to slide into inhumanity to man. Man to man inhumanity is going to get worse and worse until people feel nothing whatsoever. If you combine with what the Islamo-fascists are doing to the human condition, with the drugging of the Western population, which numbs their feelings, people's feelings, they feel nothing or next to nothing, we're very close to experimenting on human beings and saying, oh, who cares? It's only, you know, a human being. And so, I don't know, this is coming up in me today. Maybe it's the mood I'm in or whatever. But it really goes back over 30 years to my early days in science when I walked out on that fellowship. I have to remind myself that I did it because I had forgotten about it. Yeah, and I thank you for the call. I want to bring something up. The man touched on something about the element of ethnicity here. Many of you have heard of kosher meat, but you don't know what it is. You hear the word kosher means clean, but the word kosher is about ritual slaughter. The animal really is killed in a humane way. You say, well, how can you kill an animal humanely? Well, there's a big difference between killing an animal slowly and killing an animal quickly for food. And I read that the whole purpose of the kosher food laws was not so much about clean. I read this interpretation was not solely about clean food, but it was to maintain the humanity of the early Jews. Because otherwise, if you start slaughtering animals in an inhumane way, you become bestial yourself, and it's only a matter of time until you start to behave that way to other humans. Remember that. I'm just saying, end lab testing on chimpanzees now.
Savage.